Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Vulnerability Podcast. This is Dr. John, and we are excited to have everybody here with us. We've got, of course, Matt Perry. Matt, how are you doing?
Dr. John, how are you doing tonight? I'm doing great. It's always a pleasure to be here on our special Tuesday edition. And as always, I'm fired up to be here with you tonight.
Well, thank you very much. And we have a phone call from area code 815. Now, who could that be?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I'm on. Cool.
Yeah, who's this?
You know who it is.
I know, but I have to ask you so that everybody else can know who it is.
It's the person that called, sir. 17 seconds before the show started. I am Keith.
This is the wonderful Keith, who is busy studying yoga and had time to come on the podcast. Thanks for being here with us.
Hoorah.
Hoorah is exactly right. So now you know why I asked you. Oh, my goodness. 480, the one and only Tori is with us. Tori, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. Now, I hear from Matt, you're out having some fun. What are you doing tonight?
We are off-roading, and we wound up at the lake. It's called Lake Pleasant out here in Arizona. It's in, like, the western West Phoenix area.
Okay, and my question was, now this was a dumb question, but maybe not such a dumb one. I said, is this like really a lake? Because I know they call things lakes out in the West, and they're not. But you told me it really is a lake, so that's kind of cool.
I believe it to be a real bona fide lake. It sure looks like it, and it's very pretty.
Well, that's great. Well, we all wish we were there with you. So thanks for letting us know. And we all need to go to Matt to what is it, Lake Pleasant?
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
Okay. It's very interesting because we have a town here in South Carolina, which is about an hour and a half from Myrtle Beach, called Mount Pleasant. It is one of the most incredible towns in the world. It is beautiful. It's always sunny in Mount Pleasant, and it really is. And so, well, everybody, we'll all have to have a party out here in Mount Pleasant before we go out to Lake Pleasant. That sounds really good. So, anyway, thanks for being here. We've got Keith on the line with us. We've got Matt, of course, and I'm here. And what I did before the show is I sent Matt a little outline of a treatment. We're working on a literary thing, something that people can enjoy, something they can hold in their hands. I don't want to call it a book just yet, but it's a literary work. And we've got this, I put together this article. It's about vulnerability and success. And so I told Matt, I said, I want to read some of these topics, and I would like to get some commentary from everybody on the podcast. So with no further ado, I'd like to start. So it's time to think about vulnerabilities, and we need to understand them and understand how they work directly with us. I mean, we need to understand our vulnerabilities. So, I mean, they can be physical or they can be mental, but they're real just the same. We got to know them and understand them. That's the key to managing our vulnerabilities. And I think managing our vulnerabilities is very important. What do you guys think about the concept of managing your vulnerabilities and doing the right things so that you're always kind of on top of your game? What do you think, Keith?
I feel managing your vulnerabilities is a very important topic, a very deep topic potentially. Well, typically, I think it just comes down to, you know, learning to balance your life and, you know, live. When you say vulnerability, I think authenticity. I think living in your truth and being unapologetic for it. You know, it correlates to, you know, being able to express yourself and not worrying too much about what the consequences are. But like I said, those things come with a balance, you know. You can't really, you know, you're working a corporate job. You can't just go into the job and say, you know what, you treat me like shit. You work me 60 hours a week, and I don't want to do that anymore. So, I mean, unless you can, you know, there's always the opportunity that you can do something like that. But, you know, I feel like it's a balance in life. It's always a continuous balancing act. Like we have to, express ourselves, but we have to express ourselves within a means that we're comfortable with, that fits the situation that we're put into. You know, it's not healthy to fly off the handle every single time you are triggered by something. You know, you have to really look inside you and say, you know, why am I being triggered by this situation? And it's good to have an introspection into your life. It's good to develop that introspection. You know, I developed introspection through meditation, through journaling, through studying psychology, to, you know, studying yoga philosophy and, you know, shaman philosophy and all sorts of things. And it has completely transformed my life. I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect, because that's definitely not the case. But I've learned to manage my emotions much more constructively over the last couple of years, and become a more vulnerable and authentic person through meditation, through, you know, research. And I feel it's very important. You know, a lot of people neglect their mental health nowadays, and they think that, oh, I just need to go chase money, or I need to go do this, or go chase after that, when the reality of the situation is, you know, your happiness doesn't come from the outside. Happiness comes from living in your authenticity. Happiness comes from what are you doing to better yourself? What are you doing to better this world? So I will end with that happily, and wants to go next.
Well, I've got one comment. I think you said it several times almost, but happiness comes from within. Would you say that is an appropriate way to kind of encapsulate what you were talking about? That happiness comes from within.
No, not at all. I said the complete opposite. Actually, I thought happiness comes from making lots of money and having lots of sex with strippers and getting lots of blow. I'm just playing, of course it does.
Okay.
Wow, the dead silence. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I answer with sarcasm, and then I just get birds chirping. It's great.
Well, that's exactly right. We're listening to the birds and we're saying, "Golly, this is not what I expected." But that's okay. I mean, that's why we're here. We're here to share. So, Tori, So what do you think about all this? What do you think about vulnerabilities and managing them, just the concept of managing your vulnerabilities? Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing or what?
Well, I feel like we're always constantly trying to manage our vulnerabilities. Some people are more open about them than others. Some people, you know, really flat out refuse to be vulnerable in front of other people, and they'll keep themselves really closed off because of that. You know, I mean, I guess everybody has to go to their comfort level with those types of things, but it is certainly something that can add to and improve one's life when you start to open up to other people and be vulnerable. And of course, you do have to manage those vulnerabilities, because there are going to be certain things that you don't want to just necessarily share with the world. You're going to be selective about who gets to know what about you. But I think that we're all trying to do that. You also hit on something that you said was that, you know, happiness comes from within, you know, and it really does. It really does. I think that that can tie in with vulnerability in the sense that, you know, when we're able to make meaningful, powerful connections with other people, that can really change your perspective on life and everything that you do or feel like you need to do to protect yourself and have meaningful relationships with other people. So, yeah, that would be what I would say.
Okay, well, that's great. That's a very interesting and good perspective. All right, Matt, what do you think about the concept of managing your vulnerabilities? I can't wait to hear what you've got to say.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. John, for first off compiling this literary form, and then hopefully a development into a book. That's something I'm excited about. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Tori. You know, I am a very interesting perspective here, because obviously I'm the creator and founder of the Vulnerability School Project, and you know, my mission is to promote vulnerability as well as manage how we portray that vulnerability. And that culture of the whole project starts with me. What topics I choose, the way in which I convey it, and I think that's the key for me. It's not necessarily what you say, it's how you say it. I have a really good example of this. So today's topic, day 78, I was expressing how I had gone in for an acupuncture treatment, and after I completed the acupuncture session, I had a lot of energies come up, a lot of past trauma that resulted in some anger. And for me, one way I released that anger was through a lot of yelling, a lot of choice words that began largely with the word F. Friendly, right? Friendly, that's the word.
Friendly FIFO from, got it.
Absolutely. I guarantee all the listeners that friendly was not the word. But in any event, it was just my own way of releasing that stress so I could release that anger. And I was thinking earlier, like, wow, I'd love to go into a rage room too. For those viewers who don't know what a rage room is, basically you pay for like an hour and they'll give you a choice of like a bat or an electric saw or whatever. You can like break up like TVs and refrigerators that maybe people donate or whatever. It's a really good way to release the stress. But the point of what I'm trying to convey here is I was able to express honestly the ways in which I was feeling angry, the ways I was able to release it. I didn't go on the video and be a madman, right? I was able to have the proper decorum, which I think is what Keith was alluding to at one point and what he was conveying, and was able to express that in a way that wasn't off-putting. So that's the key to me. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. how you convey the message. And it's in my view that you can pretty much say anything to anyone, but it's all about how you come across and the manner and emotion and energy in which you're exuding in that process. So I hope that answers your question, Dr. John.
Well, I think it's a question for everybody. I know that sometimes I get mad when people screw up and when they purposely screw up and they ignore me. I'm having a situation like that right now. And it pisses me off. Sorry, it does. And I sent an email that just expressed how disappointed I was. And I guess I can't help it. I've lived long enough to know that there are times when people want to mess with me, or they don't care and they don't want to do their job, and I kind of have to bring them back to reality. I'm in the middle of a situation like that, and I think it's okay. I think it's okay to show a little bit of anger when you're mad. But you know, you've always got to always be ready to show some compassion when they immediately start apologizing. I think that's important. But I think it's okay when you're managing your. One of my vulnerabilities is I get mad when someone does me wrong, and it just gets all over me. That's an old Southern phrase. It just gets all over me. So I mean, it's like, you know, whatever. I try to be nice. I try to give people all the leeway that I can, but then I just get mad. I guess I'm like my dad. My dad was the most patient man in the world until he got mad, and then, you know, you wanted to stay away from him. And it was probably your fault. It was probably your fault. So I don't know. I mean, you know, that's just something that I go through, and that's one of my vulnerabilities is I tend to get mad when people don't do their job. So, well, I don't know. Am I a bad guy for that? Maybe. Or maybe not. I know that when I was chairman of an academic department at a university, and I gave every one of the faculty members a bad review because they didn't do their job, and they voted me out. Because in the administration, well, they said, yeah, you should vote him out because you don't like him. They didn't understand the underlying concept of the fact that they didn't do their jobs. And so that's when I really learned that unless you're in control, you've got to be careful when you exercise your right to get upset. So I don't know. That's just what I think. But it is an interesting concept, and I look forward to putting together this essay more, and especially with some of the comments that we're going to get tonight. Now, I've got a couple of questions. I've got five questions, and I'd like for us to talk about them just a little bit. And, oh, Tori got booted, and she's back on. We're glad to have her. Tori, we're glad to have you back. Sorry you got booted. So anyway, I think that you need to invest time and thought in knowing and understanding your vulnerabilities. So what makes you vulnerable? And I think I talked about one that makes me vulnerable. And once you know, you can attack those vulnerabilities and get ahead of the game. You can actually, I believe, attack your vulnerabilities. What do you think about that, Keith? Are we thinking? Or was it a tough question? Matt, why don't you take it first? Do you believe that you can attack your own vulnerabilities?
Absolutely. I think that as with everything in life, everything is about growth. It's about self-improvement. And I'm under the firm belief that anything that you set your mind to can be changed. And I resonate with you, Dr. John, regarding this idea that, you know, it's not easy to get you angered, But like once somebody crosses that threshold, you know, there's no holding back.
I mean, today I was trying to say, okay, John, just let it go. Don't worry about it. But I guess when it comes to the point that it's my money and my time and someone's messing around with it, I just tend to get angry. And that's kind of how it is. I'm sorry I do. And so, you know, please comment on that, Matt, because I think you've got a lot of perspective on the idea of vulnerability.
Absolutely. I think that, so for example, I guess what I'm saying is like if you wanted to genuinely change that, like really put like tons of effort into it, I think that can be shifted. For me personally, that's a great question, Dr. John. I think I also get very angry when somebody hurts me. You know, I was in a relationship actually that ended last year, and I got really hurt. And forgiveness does not come easy for me. You know, I'm somebody who is a grudge holder, and I hold in a lot of that anger and that sadness and that pain. And it's hard. It's hard to let go. It's hard to forgive. And I think sometimes what happens, what I've learned throughout this process, is a lot of times it's about forgiving yourself, about being able to go and be vulnerable within yourself in order to be able to forgive and be vulnerable to someone else.
Okay. I guess I'm going to say something that may not sit well with people, but I think it's okay. It's okay to get mad, and it's okay to get upset. It's actually your right to do that, don't you? Or do you agree with me, Matt?
I fully agree. I think that anger, you know, in American society, we always are trying to only have quote unquote positive emotions, quote unquote. The problem is when you're always striving for happiness and joy, it creates this inauthenticity, right? It's just always put a smile on whether you're happy or you're not. That doesn't work like that. You have to feel the sadness. You have to feel the anger and you embrace those feelings. Otherwise, the true happiness, the true joy, the true love will never come unless you are willing to accept the wide range of emotions. So, Dr. John, I completely and unequivocally agree with you.
Okay. And I guess this was a question I wanted to make sure that we asked because it bothered me all day about how I was going to handle it. So I tried to take the high road as much as I could, but I expressed disappointment, and that was the best that I could do. And tomorrow it's going to be more than disappointment. Tomorrow it's going to be asking for my money back, and that's just the way it is. So you know. Once you know, attacking your own vulnerabilities, I use that word in this question because I think when you attack something, there's something positive that's going to come out of it. I mean, Iwo Jima, and we raised the flag because we attacked it. We lost people, but we attacked it, and we won. And our flag is there today because we won. So I don't know, Tori and Keith, what do you folks think about this conversation about attacking your vulnerabilities and taking a positive look at attacking them? What do you think?
Well, I think that's a really important question. I mean, until you acknowledge that you have maybe a pattern of can't really hope to change it. So if you're wanting to change that thing, that you know, first taking a real solid look at it is an important thing. But like Matt said also, I mean, some of the emotions that we might equate with being negative aren't necessarily always negative. You know, some, they're in us for a reason. and we have to acknowledge and accept all parts of ourselves if we hope to really know ourselves and figure out our true place in the world.
Okay, I mean, and that's a good thought. It really is. Keith, what do you think?
I think attacking your vulnerabilities is a very good thing to do, depending on which vulnerabilities you're attacking. But I also feel accepting certain vulnerabilities is very important as well, especially in the process of learning to, you know, basically what we're talking about with vulnerability is cool, is learning to, you know, it's like self-development, ultimately. You know, it's learning to become the strongest version of yourself is what we're trying to push for. Because
now,
that's
now, sir,
really
stop.
What,
that is one of the best statements that I have heard in our entire podcast history. It really is. And thank you for saying that. Please continue.
So we're looking to change ourselves and to become a better version of ourselves. So yeah, we look at ourselves, we look at our weaknesses, and we say, well, how can I work on this one? And in the process of learning to shed an awareness on it, you know, you have to be mindful at all times what direction your mind is going. And when you're faced with difficult situations, it can trigger up old thought patterns, old emotions, old feelings. And we have to learn to be okay with that. That's part of the process. And that's actually a big part of stepping forwards in changing yourself, is learning to accept things for what they are and then slowly working yourself through those to become a better version of yourself. But also, too, you know, you can't really attacking the vulnerability. You can't, like, let's say you're, you know, if you're a crippled person or something like that, you can't really attack that vulnerability. You know, that's kind of like who you are as a person at that point in time. I mean, there's therapies and things like that you can do to possibly reverse it, but for the most part, you're just kind of like, you're kind of stuck in that situation. So I feel it depends on the situation. It depends on your level of maturity. It depends on your level of self-knowledge to be able to attach your vulnerabilities. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy there.
Okay. And all I've got to say is we have a very smart panel tonight. I think you guys are really hitting the mark, and you're making a lot of sense with some of the concepts that we're talking about. Now comes a really tough one, and it doesn't sound tough, but I believe it is. Understand how to quickly avoid vulnerabilities that will harm you. This will help you keep focused on your success and not on potential failures. Deflect has been a key to success for many world leaders when it comes to their vulnerabilities. Now, of course, when we talk about deflection, the master of deflection was Bill Clinton during his impeachment trial. He even challenged the definition of the word is in order to confound and deflect the Monica Lewinsky allegations. I mean, it was a great lesson. It was a great lesson for everybody if you learned from that. And you don't care about what he's going to say. I mean, he's the president, and, you know, he wasn't going to get impeached. He just wasn't. But the fact is, deflecting can sometimes be a great tool to get around certain vulnerabilities. Matt Perry, I feel like asking you first. What do you think about the art of deflection? I sound like Sun Tzu, the art of war. This is the art of deflection. What do you think about that?
Oh, man. So for me, I don't like that because I feel that deflection is a form of inauthenticity. And
okay.
That is not being vulnerable. That's not being real. And that pretty much stands against everything that we stand for in Vulnerability School and stands very much against what I stand for in my life. You know, I'm from the Connecticut area, which is, you know, right in the New York City area. We're very blunt. We're very straightforward. There's really no deflection in this area's culture. It's very much like this is where we stand. This is, you know, these are our viewpoints. This is our position. Take it or leave it. And that's kind of the attitude that I have in my life. And for me, I don't use deflection almost ever in my life, and I certainly don't like when other people do it. So I think that's kind of my position on the matter.
Okay. Well, and that's certainly a worthy opinion of it. It's just something, when I thought about this, I've seen it a lot of times, and I've seen it a lot from people who are very successful. Deflection really works for them. Tori, what do you think about the art of deflection?
Well, I think that a lot of people can be somewhat artful with it, but like Matt said, I mean, it does sort of lend itself to not really being authentic when you're deflecting. But maybe there are situations where, you know, maybe someone's asking you things that you don't want to be sharing. Them. And in that case, I think it can be a good tool to, you know, sort of shut down a conversation maybe that you don't feel is appropriate. And that would be, in my opinion, appropriate use for deflection.
Okay. Keith, what do you think about the art of deflection?
I'm in agreement with both Tori and Matt. I feel like deflection it can be a form of manipulation, but I also feel like it has its time and place, and you know, it goes with you know, like setting boundaries. You know, you don't want to necessarily have to be completely vulnerable with your postman or something like that, but you know, with your family or friends or something, you can be much more open to have certain discussions with. But, I mean, I don't really see deflection. I mean, when you say deflection, you use the example of Bill Clinton. I don't really see that as vulnerable. I see that as being manipulative. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about the fact that it is manipulative. When I first heard about the idea of deflection, it was from a fellow that I worked with. Before he had come to the university, he was a senior vice president of IBM. And I asked him, I said, how did you keep your job so long? Because I know that when you're in the research and development arm of IBM, there tends to be a short lifespan. He said, John, I learned to deflect, and I deflected everything. And so I ended up retiring on my own terms. And I always thought that was one of the most disingenuous things I had ever heard. But I felt like it was important because it's certainly important to a lot of people in how they rise to the top of the corporate ladder, deflection. And it's very interesting. I think we're 4 out of 4 in saying there's a certain disingenuity. What's the word? Well, it's certainly disingenuous to deflect. I think our standpoint is that we say, we don't like it. Matt, do you agree? We don't like this. We don't like deflection.
Absolutely. I completely completely disagree with it. I disagree with all forms of dishonesty and, again, myself and Vulnerability School's, you know, platform is to promote honesty, integrity, and vulnerability.
Okay. Tori, do you agree or disagree that that this is not a good way to handle things?
I'm just I agree with that.
All right.
Why not just be honest?
All right.
I don't really understand why you wouldn't be honest.
All right. Keith, what do you think? Is it a two thumbs up or a two thumbs down?
Can you repeat the question for me? I had a hard time understanding. It was having bad reception.
Okay. The point is deflection a good or a bad thing? Two thumbs up or two thumbs down?
No, deflection, it's situational. You know, I mean, like you're talking about your friend at work, or the guy that you were, not your friend, but the guy you were talking about at work. Like, you know, he had his own objective with it. Like, he was trying to move up in a company and trying to make money and trying to retire. So he used it as a way to do that. Kind of like how politicians do the same thing. I mean, for them, you know, it's just part of the game to them because they're trying to get something out of it, and they're willing to sacrifice being authentic to do it. Which that's just their story, you know. I mean, it's very clear to all of us as self-actualizing individuals that that's not what we want to stand for. But there's a lot of people, and I think that it depends on how much money we have put in front of us, because, you know, if I had $1 billion put in front of me just to lie to people about things, I can't say from my own honest opinion, I can't say that I wouldn't accept that money and then do what I was basically told to do. So it's very situational, but for the most part, from where I stand or where I sit technically, but from where I sit right now, I disapprove of it completely.
Well, I think we're 4 out of 4. I mean, I didn't like it when I heard it. I can be honest with you. I did not take that approach, and I lost a job. But I was fine with it. I was happy with it because I could justify the fact that I did the right thing. And I think sometimes you have to do the right thing and suffer the consequences. I think that's the way the world works. So it's very interesting. It's a very interesting concept, the art of deflection. And frankly, I think it's worth an entire book on deflection. Now, the next concept that we have is to thank people who promote you and help you move past your vulnerability. You know what? We all actually have some fans. We've got to find them. We've got to cultivate them. And we've got to pay attention to them, especially if they're sending us instant messages on Facebook and Instagram. I mean, we all have fans. And there are people out there that are trying to help us. Listen to them. What do you think, Matt?
Absolutely, Dr. John. Thank you for that question. And I want to first off give a shout-out to you, Dr. John, first and foremost, because you saw the value in what we're offering, and you came to me and you said, you know what, I have all these very successful podcasts, and I would love to include you in the group and highlight your mission. And I'm so thankful for you being a part of our mission and my life, and it's been a massive blessing. I also want to thank Tori, and I want to thank Keith, who have been steadfast supporters of mine, and as well as the mission of Vulnerability School. So I think all of you guys fit into that exact notion, the importance of fans, the importance of people that follow you and believe in you. Most importantly, the followers are just numbers on a computer screen. What really matters is the human being behind that follow. Getting to know that person, having those individuals get to know you and to support you and your vision and your heart and your purpose. That's what matters. And it fires me up every time I'm here on a Sunday or this week on a Tuesday discussing these important topics. It's important to me to be out on Clubhouse on Thursday night. It's important for me to be every single day on our Facebook group being live because I get to see the love and the support and the willingness of other people to participate, the willingness of others to be vulnerable, to go deep, and to overcome challenges and tackle obstacles that they never once thought was imaginable. But they feel that they are emboldened and have the ability to do so because of the space that we've created. So thank you so much, Dr. John. I really love that question.
Well, I mean, I think we have created a space for people to live in that want to talk about their vulnerabilities. I do. Now, Tori, what do you think? What is your take on the fact that we do have fans? And maybe they're our friends or whatever. But we do have fans, and they really can help us.
Well, I think it's a good idea to always keep an open mind. Information is always to us from everywhere, all the time. So I pay attention to that because, you know, the universe sort of speaks to us and whispers places that we don't expect. And it's a good idea to pay attention to messages and appreciate the people that do follow you. And, you know, I don't really think of myself as having fans, but I'm certainly grateful for anybody that, you know, likes to or finds value in anything that I have to say or, you know, present. I certainly hope that it helps someone along the way because that's my whole intention behind it in the first place. So much love and appreciation to everyone who's a fan or a follower on any of the groups.
All right, that's great, and thank you. Mr. Keith, what about your fan club? What do you think?
I love my fan club. I have had many struggles with people in my life through my many long years on this planet, and over the last couple of years, I've come across some very good people that have been very, very genuine, very helpful to me, and have helped me grow a lot as a person. When you know, people that were supposed to, you know, supposed to be able to confide in, where they didn't, you know, they didn't hold up to their roles very well. So when I have someone that is willing to be a part of my life and that is rooting for me, I am very thankful for it because I know what it's like to not have anybody in my life to be there for me, and it can be a very lonely place, and I don't there's only a few people on this planet that I wish that upon. But yeah, it's awesome. I'm very thankful for all the people that I have in my life for my fan club. So, thank you.
Well, I think it's important to recognize your fan club, and learn to love them, and to take care of them because they really are your friends. They really are. I've got to say, there was this fellow, Steve, and his girlfriend. I met them 5 years ago up in Richmond, Virginia, at a wrestling thing, and they wanted to meet me because they listened to my podcast religiously. And Steve, to this day, sends me text messages daily about wrestling things and whatever, and it's like he's really a member of my fan club.
It's not that we're friends. It's a different thing. He's a member of my fan club. He's great. And I am just lucky to have him. I'm lucky to have his girlfriend sending me the same, you know, kinds of messages. And so, you know, we have friends and fans. And I think it's interesting that you've got to understand the difference, but we've got to have both. We really do. And number four of the five, we've got to let people know if they get out of line and they attack our vulnerabilities. We've got to let them know that we will attack back. We're not going to put up with people just attacking us for no reason. Matt, this is a perfect one for you to answer first. What do you think about that?
Dr. John, I first want to just first off state, you know, I definitely think there is a two-tiered system between friends and fans. But for me, and with Vulnerability School, I do like to include everyone under my fam. Everyone's part of my family, and I'm so very grateful for everyone who's a part of our community. And I do especially look out for those who really are really engaged in what we're trying to do, whether they're on the clubhouses, whether they're tuning in for our podcast, whether they're offering any advice or some assistance in growing our project. All those people really certainly get first looks, and you know, definitely something that we appreciate. In respect to your question, I think kindness, love, empathy, and dignity are always the first ways to try to handle a situation that's unpleasant. With that said, I do agree with the notion that if someone comes in and attacks you, then you absolutely have the right to call that out, particularly if the behavior is, you know, egregious. And so I have one example. I know we talked about that last week where we had the issue on Clubhouse. And, you know, I could have just completely ignored the situation and not really addressed that with other members who were in the clubhouse. But, you know, while I didn't attack him back, I did express to the individual that this was extremely inappropriate, and I highlighted the actions of the individual to everyone in the room. That was a way for me to not only express to everyone else, like, what is going on here, but furthermore, it was a way to also defend myself too. We all have a right to defend ourselves, and as such, I completely agree with your question, Dr. John, because that's our right. Our right is to protect ourselves and love ourselves. Thank you.
You are absolutely correct. I love that answer. We have the right to protect ourselves and to love ourselves overly, but we've got to love ourselves. That's a great comment and a great statement. All right, Tori, what do you think?
Let's see. Hi. Tori got into it.
Can you circle to Steve real quick, and then I'll come back to you.
All right. Are you there, Tori?
Okay. I'm here.
Good.
I think that it's absolutely important to stand up for yourself and, you know, having the boundaries, which we've talked about in previous episodes and stuff, it's super important. And, gosh, I mean, you know, we have to defend ourselves, because who else is going to? Who else is going to be as invested in taking care of us than us? I mean,
that's a great statement. You get an A-plus on that one. For me, and that's a wonderful statement. We've got to defend ourselves. We can't do it too much, but we've got to do it at the right amount, because, you know, we're people too, and we deserve a little bit of dignity, and that's a great thing. So, look, thank you for that statement. I think it's wonderful. You said you get an A-plus on that. Well, Matt gets an A-plus on his. Keith, are you getting ready to get an A-plus here? What do you think?
about the defense of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone deserves the right to defend themselves. And I earlier in this talk, I talked about boundaries too, and and Tori mentioned that we've spoken about it in the past too. I mean, it's a very important topic, you know, setting boundaries and being willing to, when someone's stepping on your toes, to say, you know what, you need to stop, or there's consequences for it. And, you know, Matt brought up the topic about in the group when some guy was, you know, getting out of hand, and he called him out for it and said exactly what he needed to say. You know, he put the guy in his place. You know, there's no reason why we should sit there and take crap from somebody. You know, I feel like there's certain people in our lives that, you know, we got to take a little bit of crap from, you know, like per se, like a parent or something like that. But even that, you know, there's boundaries and there's limits to it. You know, I'm not going to sit there and be lectured by somebody, especially not somebody that I don't respect. And if they're trying to tell me how to, you know, the way how I live my life or something like that, I don't care what you have to say. And if you start insulting me, then you know what? They're going to get what they need. So it's important to absolutely very important to stand up for yourself. We need to. And it's never okay to be walked on, no matter what it is. Even if your voice will shake, you need to speak up for yourself. Don't ever let anybody walk on you. It's not okay.
Another A-plus for tonight. This is wonderful. You folks have given me 3 A-plus answers in a row on this question, so thank you so much. I think it's important. And by the way, before we get to the last question, all of these answers are going to be put together in the final version of this chapter called Vulnerability and Success. And I think it's going to be a slam dunk home run because we've had great opinions from people that are thinking. And you guys are the best. You really are. Final question of the night. You will ultimately boost your productivity and live a better life if you understand your vulnerabilities and create a world in which you protect yourself from your vulnerabilities. What do you think? Can you build a better life by protecting yourself from your own vulnerabilities? Matt, what do you think?
Before I answer that question, Dr. John, I'm going to kindly request you answer that question so I can get a clearer understanding of what you're asking.
Okay. What I'm saying is, once you understand your vulnerabilities and you understand them, then you need to be a little careful about the way you act, because if you're vulnerable in a certain area, then you want to make sure that you don't show don't show it, because it's a learning process. Vulnerabilities are going to change over time. So I think that you have to look at your vulnerabilities, see what they are, and learn from them, and just do better. That's an old Southern phrase. You've got to do better with your vulnerabilities. So what do you think, Matt?
So I think my answer is sort of twofold. I think my answer is twofold. Number one, my general overview is that the more vulnerable that we are externally, the more success we have, because that allows for connection that would not be present otherwise. And obviously, vulnerability is cool, epitomizes that. So if you go tell someone that you're going through this experience or that experience, that helps you relate. That helps you connect. That helps you get to know people on a deeper level. And as such, they'll want to have you a part of every aspect of their life, personal, professional, whatever. That really helps a lot in terms of success. Now, on the flip side of that, I think sort of what you're saying, more of an internal vulnerability process, where, say, you know, that you'll get really angry, for example, if something happens. Then there's an internal protection process that I think you go through to make sure you don't reach that level of internal vulnerability. Now, I think in a scenario like that, I think it's okay to express to other people, hey, if you do this, this is going to get me really angry. Or just so you know, I'm a really angry person. If something happens. But I think that it is about taking safety measures or precautions to make sure that that vulnerable part of self within yourself triggers. So I think that's mostly what you're asking, but I think that it was really important for me, since it sort of uses the same language, to express that I think as we're more externally vulnerable, that does increase success. So I hope that answers it in all different ways, Dr. John.
No, that was a great answer, because you talked about internal and external. You talked about things that we need to look at. So that was wonderful, and thank you so much. Tori, what do you think about this probably very colluded question, but what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's a good question. So, like, I have an easy time being vulnerable about a lot of things, but there are some things that, you know, it's incredibly hard for me to be vulnerable about. And I guess those would be the things that I feel somewhat protective of, you know, that I don't just want to tell everybody that I know personally in my life, you know. And maybe they're going to think I'm weird, you know, for whatever reason. I don't believe that they're going to find it to be agreeable or something, you know. So so an example is my here and they feel uncomfortable. What happens? They come to me because they don't know if they're going to have themselves down because they say the wrong. So I keep that to myself, even though. Because it's kind of a, I don't want to be dumping that on people. So. Yeah, so I protect that within, I suppose. Otherwise, so it's there.
So there's a level of protection on some certain vulnerabilities, but some are open for you. Is that one good way to say it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. All right, Keith, what do you think about my colluded and weird last question?
Protecting your vulnerability?
Yep.
I feel like it's, you know, Tori was basically saying it's situational, and I absolutely agree with it. You know, I feel everything is... Ultimately, I feel everything is situational. You know, even something, you know, you can say is cut and dry, as good and bad. You know, Friedrich Nietzsche, I feel he wrote in one of his books, he talked about something called the will to power. And when you have, you know, like the will to power, like Bill Clinton, for instance, when he was, you know, being impeached, and he was clearly, obviously lying about, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. You know, he was clearly, obviously lying about it, but he was doing it because he was trying to stay in power. He didn't want to admit to something like that because that could tarnish his reputation. So good and bad, I mean, you know, killing people might be evil to you, but... You know, to the person that is doing it, they obviously feel that it's okay for that to be done, or else they wouldn't be doing it. So, yeah, that's definitely a kind of intense scenario, but, you know, I feel like you need everything situational. So, So, you know, it depends on who you're talking. Like I said earlier in this podcast, it depends who you're talking to. It depends on, you know, what you're trying to get out of the situation too. But, yeah, I mean, basically Matt and Tori covered everything that needs to be covered with this topic, and I'm just kind of repeating it and then adding my own twist to it. So, so thanks for the question,
all right.
John. I'll end there.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'll tell you what, I think we've had a very interesting discussion about the idea of vulnerability and success. And we're going to put all of this into the chapter, which is going to be in our book, Vulnerability is Cool. What Do We Mean? That's the working title right now. So I think we're going to have a wonderful book because we've got some good people giving us some good advice, folks that are really, you know, they're really in tune with it. So first of all, I want to thank Keith. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, John. I'm glad I
always
was able to find the 17 seconds before the show started to get on the show.
We're so glad you did. And I hope you don't mind this, the Queen of the Vulnerability Podcast, Tori, thank you for being with us. You had some great insight. You really did.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you, as always, for inviting me here. I sure appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. You're always welcome. And Matt, thank you for being with us and sharing the things that you did. You had some great opinions and great ideas, and they're going to go right into our chapter on vulnerability and success. So thank you so much for all this.
Dr. John, thank you so much, and equally thank you as well. If it wasn't for you and coming up with this idea, we wouldn't be having this weekly podcast. And I love the topic today. I love that we really have drawn a correlation between vulnerability and success. And I just want to wrap up with one thing tonight with unrelated topic, but one of our members, we're very proud to have members from almost 70 different countries right now. And we have a member from Colombia who expressed a lot of humanitarian atrocities that are going on in their country right now. So I just want to give a shout-out to Valeria and the people of Colombia for what they're currently going through right now. So big love. We're one big world, and we're one big human family. So big love to everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And thank you to everybody for being with us tonight on Vulnerability is Cool, the podcast. We'll be back next week on Sunday night at 11 p.m. We're going to have a lot more fun, a lot more great topics. So thanks a lot. Please be sure to join us, and we'll see you next time on Vulnerability is Cool, the podcast. Take care.